go home and get your fucking shine box.
Oh! Welcome to the final day of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Great show for you today. Got a great guest. Excited to have her on. Me and Dallas have been talking about it for a while. She's doing God's work, in my opinion. She's a very powerful lawyer for former President Donald Trump. She was there during the whole Mar-a-Lago thing. So she's really hands-on and really smart. She's got a brand new book out calling Stealing Your Vote. I just started reading it, and it's fascinating. And it tells you what we believe to be true. And a lot of work went into it. So my guest today, a lawyer for former President Donald Trump, who was right in the middle of the whole Mar-a-Lago document thing. And she's got a great new book out called Stealing Your Vote. And it's Christina Bobb. Thanks for coming on the show, Christina. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Before we get to the book, I just wanted to touch on, obviously, because you were right in the middle of the whole document thing down in Mar-a-Lago. I just explain to me and my audience how Biden's being treated differently than they treated other than the obvious, but I mean,
right. Well, I think it is just obvious. I mean, you don't have to have insider information to see that there are two different standards with the way that they're applying law. I mean, President Trump was the president, so he's covered by the Presidential Records Act, meaning it's his decision and solely his decision what documents he keeps and what needs to be turned over to the National Archives. And then on top of that, he also had declassification authority or classification authority. And again, he's the sole decision maker. That's not a committee. There's nobody who can overrule him. So he was in lawful custody of everything that he had. And then you contrast that with Joe Biden and see that he had documents in a myriad of places. He had the Penn Biden Center that was funded largely with CCP money. And then he had these documents next to his Corvette in a garage where Hunter Biden was paying $50,000 a month to live there. And oh, by the way, we know that Hunter Biden was negotiating some type of monetary exchange between Ukraine and Russia and China. So we know that Biden's documents were compromised. I mean, I don't know why on earth they would be pushing so hard to try to find a crime against Donald Trump on these document things when the whole time they knew. I mean, remember, they knew back in November.
Before the midterms.
Yeah, before the midterm. Yeah, before the midterm, they knew that these documents had come forward, and they were still pushing, and they were still trying to indicate they were going to go after Donald Trump. And it wasn't until the story broke that they sheepishly had to appoint a special counsel to investigate Joe Biden. I mean, why didn't they appoint one sooner? Maybe not hold a press conference about it. They didn't even bother to do that. It appears anyway that it looks like they were going to have two grossly different standards, but for the fact that the media broke the story on Joe Biden, and so they had to backpedal a little bit.
And I might be wrong on this, but some of those documents with Biden were, I mean, he was vice president at the time, which right? So he had no power over that, right? He wasn't supposed to have those at all.
And some of the documents actually came from his time in the Senate, which he should never have had those. I mean, the vice president, he shouldn't have had them either, but you can at least kind of understand how he got them.
Right.
But as a senator, he should never have had that information. So, or at least, you know, not had it in his own private possession. I mean, it should never have left the Senate. So, yeah, there's a lot of unanswered questions. And even with Mike Pence coming forward saying that he had information, I think the only one that looks like they have criminal culpability is Joe Biden himself.
Well, isn't it kind of suspicious when, like, his lawyers, I'm trying to find the impetus for why they started looking for stuff. I haven't heard the answer to that question, where they just go, I mean, when does your lawyer go, you know what, we got to check you out? I mean, yeah. I don't understand.
No,
I know
that's a great question. I haven't seen anything surface that
nothing
gives me my own hypothesis. I think it's interesting. I think the timing of it is all interesting. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know why it has played out the way it has on the Biden side. It's very curious timing. And it's weird because never before in the history of the country have we had such a big, you know, dramatic show about presidential records But for the fact that they tried to go after Donald Trump for something that has never been done really before in the history of the country. And then suddenly, oops, Joe Biden had the exact same, not the exact same problem. Joe Biden actually had a problem. Donald Trump didn't have a problem. He was legally entitled to all of the records that he had. They left the White House. They went to Mar-a-Lago. The chain of custody was intact. The premises was guarded by the Secret Service as well as private security. That's not the case with Joe Biden.
Yeah.
So, I have the same question.
I think it was a two-pronged approach on their part. Obviously, because they knew Mr. Trump's going to run again, so they want to bury him. And I think they wanted to get Biden out of there. That's what it looks like to me with all these documents showing up. So the timing, like you said, it sort of makes sense now. They were afraid, well, right?
Maybe, but for the fact it makes it harder for them. I personally think it makes it harder for them to do anything criminally against Donald Trump.
That's true.
Several people have said, do you think they're doing it to frame Biden? Or are they trying to frame Biden? Maybe. I mean, if that's really what they were trying to do, I mean, it's really weird that they would pick the exact same thing that they're going after Donald Trump for. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of weird occurrences surrounding it. I don't know all of their intent. And it's quite possible that there's conflict within the Biden, Democrat camp. And we're seeing spillage of an internal dispute coming out of this. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, that's for sure.
We're talking to Christina Bob, a lawyer for former President Trump. And just a couple more things on this. We'll move on to the book. You were there, right? Were you there when they raided the? They asked you to step outside when they were rifling through.
They did. I was there.
Right?
Yes, technically I was on site at Mar-a-Lago, but I was on the Circle Drive outside for 9 or 10 hours or so in the Florida summer heat in August. So I was there, but they wouldn't let me observe. They wouldn't let me participate in any meaningful way. So all I could do was, take pictures and try to document what I could see from the outside, but I couldn't see much.
I noticed they didn't rifle through Jill's underwear drawer.
Not that we know of. I mean, who knows what they were doing?
I talked to Jill.
The fact that they did the Biden search, I think five times. I think they're on their fifth round of documents disclosures, or about that number.
Right.
When the FBI finally said, "Okay, well, we should coordinate with you and do a search together." Yeah, that didn't happen. They didn't give us that opportunity, even though we extended it to them. We said, let us know if you need anything. And they didn't. They just showed up and raided the place.
Well, I know an FBI guy. I said, why didn't you rifle through her underwear? And he said, look, she wears the same underwear as her husband. Tidy, tidy whities. That was the answer.
I was going to say maybe her husband. The other way around, but I'll leave it at that.
I didn't want to see that. I was trying to be all nice and stuff. I wanted to go there and she went to Georgetown. She's got a, mask. very impressive. I read your resume. That's crazy to be that smart and have nice teeth.
Well, thank you.
All right. And one more thing about that. Sorry. You signed a letter, but what you signed certifying, you said, as far as I know, we've returned everything that they asked for, right? Isn't that basically Evan Cochran?
I have been forthright with the Department of Justice and the FBI every step of the way.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's move on to the book. I'm so glad you did this. Nothing to me represents how screwed up this country is than the last election. And it took the wind out of my sail. I don't want to be that cynic because I'm not voting anymore.
Right.
Because people used to say that to me and laugh. My liberal jerk friends used to laugh. I'll tell you, Brett Butler. I don't know if you remember a show called Grace Under Fire. Do you remember that show?
I do, actually, yeah.
On ABC. I was a good friend of hers. I remember back, that was a G.W. Bush election or something, and we were talking about it, and she laughed at the table. I mean, she goes, he thinks his vote matters. And I go, what are you talking about? She goes, they don't count your votes. So I'm like, yeah. Ever since she said that, and I hear from other, please tell me my vote still counts. Obviously, you wrote the book.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's more important than ever that people not just get out and vote, but volunteer. We have to work the polls. I mean, I was overwhelmed by the number of Republican poll workers that I interviewed that said they were outnumbered 10 to 1, 20 to 1, in some cases in Detroit, I had three people tell me they were outnumbered 100-1. Every Republican volunteer, there were 100 Democrat volunteers. Well, so yes, there are problems, and yes, there's, you know, we saw illegal activity and all of that. But at the end of the day, if we're not showing up to actually work the polls and we're voluntarily allowing them to work the polls and count the votes, I don't think we can really complain much. We have to show up and participate.
That's my worst nightmare, my niece working the poll. Anyway, that was a strip club joke, Dallas. So what happened in Maricopa County? I mean, I was following it, and I got to be honest, then I just abandoned it. I was seeing Carrie Lake online giving these updates. They were all positive. You know, she's like, we're ahead now, blah, blah, blah. And all, and all of a sudden, it just all went away. They're like, no, no. I mean, can you give us a little insight to
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw a repeat of 2020. You know, they needed, I think, 6 extra days to find more ballots and count the votes. And yeah, it was very disturbing. I think Carrie Lake, I believe Carrie Lake won that race. I also believe that she proved she met her burden to win the lawsuit challenging it. But the judge, of course, didn't side with her. And then later this week, I think February 1st, the Court of Appeals takes up her case. We'll see what they do with it. But I think she has more than won every step of the way. And we're unfortunately seeing fear and cowardice at best playing out among our court system. And no one wants to be the one to stand up and say, yeah, we actually have a real problem here. I mean, the burden of proof or the standard in Arizona to overturn an election or just disqualify, it's not even overturning the election, it's just disqualifying one county or disqualifying a set of votes, is that it's uncertain, meaning you can't tell the exact number of votes that should have counted or, you know, should have been included. And she had whistleblowers from the ballot of the ballot company saying that close to 300,000 votes had been illegally inserted into the tally. There were, you know, 25,000 mismatched signatures that shouldn't have been counted. I mean, she came close to, it was around 500,000 votes with legitimate, provable information showing that they should not have been added to the tally, rendering the tally uncertain, meaning she meets her burden of proof. She had expert witnesses, she had on-site whistleblowers, and not only that, but the election director for Maricopa County perjured himself. He lied under oath and got caught and then basically had to acknowledge that he lied under oath. So I think she more than proved her case, yet the court has refused to side with her. Thus far, I'm still holding out hope. We'll see what the Court of Appeals does.
That doesn't discourage you. Thank God you're not, I mean, you're an optimist. When she does all that work and meets the burden of proof, but like you said, it's at the judicial level.
Yeah.
Even when Trump, right after the election, you know, people on the left, my friends, are like, no, the judges said no, that there was no, they didn't say no, they didn't even look at it. They just ruled
that. That's exactly right.
Right?
They refused across the board to look at it. Every case was kicked out on standing or mootness or a timing procedural issue. Carrie Lake's case, actually, to my knowledge, was the first one since the whole 2020 debacle where anybody actually got to present evidence in court. As far as I know, I believe Carrie Lake's was the first one that actually happened.
We're talking to Christina Bob. She's got a great book out, Stealing Your Vote. She's a lawyer for former President Donald Trump. They labeled it a big lie. That's like to say the cover-up's worse than the crime. Is that that's all it takes when you own the media, I guess, right?
Yeah. The cover-up is much more frustrating than the crime. And I was frustrated because the way that I like to summarize it is that Democrats stole the election and Republicans covered it up. And it was so disheartening and frustrating to see the Republican cover-up in Arizona, in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, in Georgia. I mean, you name a state, and Republicans were running interference from anybody trying to run a meaningful investigation, whether it was an elected official who wanted to do some sort of official investigation, or whether it was a citizen voter who had sued and, you know, was looking for access to certain information, or whether it was a grassroots effort that had done their own canvas, whatever it was, the worst roadblocks came from Republicans.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, there's a lot of patriots out there who are fighting this, but you also said there's, you can blame a lot of lazy, fat Republicans. Now, I want you to name some names.
Yeah, Well, my favorite one to highlight is Robin Voss in Wisconsin. I mean, he did everything he could to undermine every single effort in Wisconsin. And, you know, he likes to take credit and say, oh, well, I appointed Justice Gableman to do a report. Justice Gableman did a fantastic report. But it was really only because his constituents were threatening a recall election against him. And they were threatening a recall election. So he finally appointed Gableman and allowed this investigation to go forward. But even after Gableman found prima facie what occurred in Wisconsin was a prima facie violation of Wisconsin's bribery laws with the way that the money was distributed, Robin Voss looked at it and said, okay, there were 91 outstanding subpoenas issued for more information regarding the 2020 election. And after Robin Voss got reelected, questionably, in 2022, he recalled all the subpoenas and canceled them. I mean, he is doing everything he can to block election integrity.
What's his name again?
Robin Voss.
Robin Voss. VOS.
Yeah, and then you had Jake Corman in Pennsylvania. You had the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors in Arizona. I'd say Brian Kemp and Brad Raffensperger in Georgia. I mean, it was Republicans running interference.
I'm in Georgia, so that hits home. I knew there was something going on. I live in Savannah. I found a box of votes for Trump in my garage, like the day after.
Were they next to a Corvette?
Unfortunately, no. Next to an old dirty bike I ride around town.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's fine. My theory on him keeping the stuff in the garage is that Hunter hid his stash of coke there for years. Nobody found it.
Right.
That's where Joe got the idea. I think, let me see. Yeah, Georgia, can you explain Raffensperger there? He's a two-faced rhino, yeah, whatever you want to call him, right? And he still has a job, does he not?
Well, I mean, he ran the election. It was his responsibility to run the election. You know what I think is interesting about Georgia, particularly in the 2022 election? I think it's interesting that Brian Kemp, the governor, Brad Raffensperger, the secretary of state, and Christopher Carr, the attorney general, are all incumbent state office holders. They all won their re-election in 2022 with just enough past the margin of victory, 51%-ish,
right,
so that they wouldn't have to face a runoff. Yet the federal office, the U.S. Senate seat, of course, that we know Herschel Walker was running for,
yes,
that went blue. One, it had to go to a runoff, and two, it went blue. So in order for that to happen, that means the Georgia voters voted straight red for the state offices, but blue for the federal office?
Yeah.
That struck me as odd.
My wife actually pointed that out to me. It all stunk to high heaven. With the job President Trump did, with all the crap he had to put up with, it reminded me of a NFL running back with two guys hanging on his legs and he was dragging them down the field.
Yeah.
And he still did a great job. I just don't believe. And you want me to believe that Biden got more votes than Obama?
Oh, he's the most popular president in U.S. history.
Yeah.
So popular, he didn't have to leave his basement to campaign.
It really is true. I'll end on this. So what is the answer? I mean, those judges are always going to be there. I thought those liberal a-hole judges. So how about paper ballots? One day of voting, 24 hours, you got to vote. You can't vote for 2 weeks. Can you know, is any chance of that getting passed? What's the solution?
I think there is a chance, whether you know you're in Georgia or any other state in the United States, get involved. The solution is this has to be a bottom-up solution. It has to come from the grassroots. It has to be people who care enough to get involved in their local elections to secure their precincts and to secure their counties. If we all secure our own precincts in our own county, we'll have a secure election, and it can be done. I've actually seen grassroots efforts, even in California, in Northern California and Shasta County. They have done great research and great investigations and presented findings to their county clerks, and they've actually made changes that are very pro-election integrity in counties in California, because these grassroots are just, they're organized, they're putting stuff together, and they're forcing change. So if we can see those types of changes in California, Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, we should be able to see it there too. So get involved. If you don't know where to start, contact your state or local GOP. If you don't like them, or they're not doing what you want to do, find a grassroots organization that is, and partner with a grassroots organization. If there isn't one, start one. But we have to get involved. This is an all hands on deck situation, but I'm convinced that if we do it, we will secure our election, and I believe Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States.
I want to get involved, but there's so much good sports on the weekend.
Well, yeah. See, that's the sacrifice,
I know,
right? That's what a lot of people feel.
I know. That is the problem, actually. Christina, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It really was a pleasure meeting you, and keep up the good fight. Lord knows I'm not, but I'm doing my part. The book book is Stealing Your Vote. Folks, get it. It's a great read, and like I said, she's fighting on our behalf. Again, thanks a lot, Christina. Hope to talk to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Take care. My thanks again to Christina Bob. Again, the book is Steal Your Vote. It's a really good read. Spend the money. I know you got it. That is it for the week, ladies and gentlemen. I am headed off to Arkansas. So you guys have a great weekend. You think it, I'll say it. You're welcome. See you back here on Monday.
Hi. Good night, everybody.